Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. We've been studying this week the subject of faith. Yesterday, I shared with you what faith is, and today I want to talk about what faith is not. It's important to understand what Bible faith really is and what it means to walk by faith and not by sight, because we know from the Word of God that it is impossible to please God without faith. But what is faith? Well, sometimes the opposite definition will help us, and so I'm going to share with you two things that faith is not. The very first one is that faith is not mental agreement. Mental agreement or mental assent to the Word of God or to certain biblical or church doctrines is not the same as faith. Mental agreement is in the mind, or you would say the soulish realm of a person, while faith, the ability to believe God confidently and without a doubt or a wavering in your heart, exists in the spirit of a person or in the heart of a person. One definition of faith that I love so much is, faith is unshakable confidence in God, His Word, and His character, despite circumstances which make claim evidence to the contrary. Mental agreement will never stand up in the light of any evidence to the contrary, because then the mind finds itself in a turmoil. If you only believe with your mind or with your head, then evidence that proposes itself before you that this is not going to happen or things don't look the way that God said they would, or you're believing God's word for healing and you have all these symptoms, that kind of evidence to the contrary will shake a person whose faith really isn't faith, but instead is just mental agreement with what God's word says. So that is why the word instructs us this way. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. That your own understanding statement refers very directly to your mind or your ability to agree with your head, with your soulish realm, with your mind, your intellect. And God's saying, that's not where you're going to trust me. You can't trust me with your head. This is not a head faith. This is a heart faith issue. Instead, the Word of God instructs us, trust the Lord with all of your heart. So that's with your spirit man, with your innermost being. You're going to trust God, despite what your head may even tell you at times. Your own mind can be your worst enemy if you have not renewed it with the Word of God when it comes to things about the area of faith, of believing God, that God is able to do abundantly above what we could ask, think, or imagine. But many people struggle with being able to believe God for the abundantly above what you could ask or imagine because their mind has not been renewed with the Word of God. You've spent more time filling your mind with things that are contrary to the Word of God, such as newspapers and television and news articles and news reports, instead of feasting and filling your spirit through your mind. It requires your mind to be involved with the Word of God by reading the Word, hearing the Word, saying the Word. And by doing that, you'll build up your faith and you will be able to make that transfer from just having a mental agreement with the Word of God to a place where you have a heart faith that God's Word is true no matter what things may look like. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean on your own mental understanding of things. Now, the second thing I want to say that faith is not hope. Now, hope is defined in the Webster's New World Dictionary as a feeling that what is wanted will happen. A feeling that what is wanted will happen. That's hope. Now, hope's a good thing, but hope is not what we will please God. We need hope. We need to have a hope that about things in life and about what God says, but it's faith that will get you the things that God says you can have. And faith it says, is what is pleasing to God. Or without faith, we cannot please God. So we have to have faith, that unshakable confidence in God, His Word, and His character, despite circumstances which may claim evidence to the contrary. So it's faith that God is after in your life. Now, hope always implies a future event. Well, I hope that'll happen. I hope that'll come to pass. It's always a futuristic wish. But on the contrary, faith speaks of a now reality. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is. And it's now. It's not in the sweet by and by. It's now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope's involved, but it's faith that brings the substance and hope of what you have hoped for. And it's the evidence of things you don't yet see. So faith is not the same as hope, and it's faith which God is after. Now, Jesus gave us some great instruction in Matthew 11, 22, 23, and 24, talking to them about believing God, having faith, and praying a prayer of faith. Jesus said, answering, said to them, have faith in God. And he goes on to say, therefore I say unto you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So God is saying that when you pray, you have to believe that God hears you, answers you at that moment, and that you receive right then what you have asked God for, and that you shall have them in your possession shortly. This is the prayer of faith. When you pray, believe that you receive. Don't hope that you receive, believe that you receive. Let me share with you one of the most touching stories I have ever come across about praying a prayer of faith, and it demonstrated a child's faith to believe confidently that God was able to do what He had promised. He's able to be the provider even when things don't look like there's any possible way provision could come. And this is a story from a missionary named Helen Rosevere, who was a missionary doctor from England to Zaire, Africa. She said this, one night I'd worked hard to help a mother in the labor ward, but in spite of all we could do, she died, leaving us with a tiny premature baby and a crying 2-year-old daughter. We would have difficulty keeping that baby alive as we had no incubator. We had no electricity to run an incubator. We also had no special feeding facilities. Although we lived on the equator, nights were often chilly with treacherous drafts. One student midwife went for the little box we had for such babies and the cotton wool the baby would be wrapped in. Another went to stoke up the fire and fill up a hot water bottle to keep it warm. She came back shortly in distress to tell me that in filling the bottle, it had burst. Rubber perishes easily in tropical climates. And it is our last hot water bottle, she cried. As in the West, it is no good crying over spilled milk. And so in Africa, you could say there's no good crying over burst water bottles. All right, I said, put the baby as near to the fire as you safely can and sleep between the baby and the door and to keep it free from drafts. Your job, I told her, is to keep the baby warm. The following noon, as I did most days, I went to have prayers with some of the orphanage children who chose to gather with me. I gave the youngsters various suggestions of things to pray about, and I told them about the tiny premature baby. I explained our problem about keeping the baby warm and mentioned the lost hot water bottle. The baby could so easily die if it got chilled. I also told them of the 2-year-old sister crying because her mother had died. During the prayer time, one 10-year-old girl, Ruth, prayed with the usual blunt conciseness of our African children. Please, God, she prayed, send us a water bottle. It'll do no good tomorrow, God, as the baby will be dead. So please send it this afternoon. While I gasped inwardly at the audacity of the prayer, she added, and while you're at it, would you please send a dolly for the little girl so she'll know you really love her? As often with children's prayers, I was put on the spot. Could I honestly say amen? I just did not believe that God could do this. Oh, yes, I know He can do everything. Now, that's mental agreement, right? Mental assent. The Bible says so. But there are limits, aren't there? The only way God could answer this particular prayer would be by sending me a parcel from the homeland. And I had been in Africa for almost 4 years at that time, and I had never, ever received a parcel from home. Anyway, if anyone sent me a parcel, who would put a hot water bottle in it? I lived on the equator. Well, halfway through the afternoon, while I was teaching in the nurse's school, a message was sent that there was a car at my front door. By the time I reached home, the car was gone, but there on the veranda was a large 22-pound parcel. I felt tears pricking my eyes. I could not open that parcel alone, so I sent for the orphanage children. Together, we pulled off the string, folded the paper, and excitement was mounting by the moment. Some 30 or 40 pairs of eyes were focused on that large cardboard box. From the top, I lifted out brightly colored knitted jerseys. Eyes sparkled as I gave them out. Then we found knitted bandages for the leprosy patients. Then came a box of raisins that would make a nice batch of buns for the weekend. But then as I put my hand in again, I felt, could it really be? I grasped it and I pulled it out. Yes, a brand new rubber hot water bottle. I cried. I had not asked God to send it. I had not truly believed that He could. Ruth was in the front row of the children. She rushed forward, crying out, if God has sent the bottle, He must have sent the dolly too. Rummaging down through the box, she pulled out a beautifully dressed doll. Her eyes shone. She had never doubted. Looking up at me, she said, can I go over with you and give this dolly to that little girl so she'll know that Jesus really loves her? The parcel had been on its way for 5 whole months, packed up by my former Sunday school class, whose leader had heard and obeyed God's voice to send a hot water bottle even to the equator. And one of the girls had put a doll in for an African child 5 months before, in answer to the believing prayer of a 10-year-old to bring it that afternoon. Isaiah 65:24 says, before they call, I will answer. Be a person of faith. Believe God. Have a victorious day.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.